How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Man, we got a lot to get into here today. Brock Lesnar coming back for the Royal Rumble Go Home Show. A new TV deal for Impact Wrestling. We got Asuka and Becky Lynch announced for the Royal Rumble. And we're going to take a lot of phone calls, emails, and text messages. And on top of that here today, Mike Sempervive is ill. He is not feeling well. And as a result, he is going to be replaced on the show today by Lance Storm. Our usual Friday afternoon guest is going to move to Wrestling Observer Live here today. So if you have questions for Lance, if you want to talk to Lance, you're welcome to join the program today. The phone number, got a lot of numbers here for you today. Toll free, 844-411-5411 is the studio line. That is 844-411-5411. The text message line, 425-780-7566. If you want to email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And if you'd like to tweet me, @BrianAlvarez is the Twitter address. We've got a lot of people waiting here on the line, so we'll get to those here after a while. We have also got the sports byline if you want to try and call that way. 1-800... Actually, what is the sports byline number? Forget it. Let's just do the studio line today. 844-411-5411. That should be enough. Got a million people on the line here anyway. We don't need an extra line. But yeah, give us a call. Impact Wrestling announced its move to the Pursuit channel this morning, leaving Pop TV with the expiration of the current contract. It was known that Impact was looking elsewhere for a new home for months. Bad news is it will remain in the 10 p.m. to midnight time slot and move to Fridays, the same time slot that led to a huge decline in ratings on Pop TV. Impact will debut on Pursuit Friday, January 11th. And Pursuit, of course, a hunting outdoors channel that Anthem Entertainment owns a significant minority ownership in. It has been around since 2008, carried on channel 604 on DirecTV, 393 on Dish, 1644 on AT&T, 818 on Verizon Fios. We'll have more on this and all the other news, and Lance Storm coming up after the break, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. No Mike Sempervive here today. He's being replaced by the one and only Lance Storm this afternoon. Haven't seen Lance for, man, it's been literally days. Lance, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Huge upgrade. Mike Sempervive's not here.
Oh, man. Hey, how'd you enjoy this weekend? Or did you enjoy this weekend?
It was a lot of fun. I always enjoy going to Seattle, although I'm just so not used to travel that I got a little sick when I got home and I'm just recovering from it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, getting too old for the lack of sleep, but it was a lot of fun. Great to see Rodney and meet Filthy Tom Lawler for the first time.
That's, hey, man, what a first meeting it was. Barfed all over. That's your last memory of him? Vomit all over his face?
Actually, my last memory was sending him to security to clear at the airport.
Oh, that's right. You went all the way to the airport.
Yeah, he had the gimmick pre-screening, so he went to a different security checkpoint than me, but I pushed him towards the gates, and off he went, and he made it.
How did they let him through security in that state?
He actually wasn't too bad. I think the shower helped him a lot, and then the ride up in the back of Craig's truck, he wasn't too bad. He was moving slow, but he was functioning.
Probably the shower and the fact that he vomited up all of the alcohol that was in his system.
Yeah, that probably helped.
Probably the best of both worlds. All right, I'm going to do some news here, Lance. If you have any comments, you can throw those in. And then we got a million people texting and calling. So if you want to talk to Lance Storm, everybody, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Don't be shy, like at the Q&A we did this weekend. You can ask Lance anything. How about that? Impact Wrestling moving to the Pursuit channel. They're leaving Pop TV. They're going to Pursuit, which is part of the Anthem Entertainment. I guess they own a significant minority ownership. Not sure what that means, significant minority. But it's an outdoor channel, and they're going to be on it. And unfortunately, it's still the 10 p.m. to midnight time slot, which is not the best time slot. Impact had been doing decent numbers. Then they got moved to the later time slot, and numbers weren't so good. And now here they are moving to another channel, and unfortunately the same time slot. So, I mean, let's be honest, this ain't great. I think obviously they would have loved to be on Paramount or anything else. It's kind of like a, I don't even know if it's a lateral move. maybe a slight step down. I'm not sure. I don't know if there's any, like the pop deal was a barter deal, so they paid nothing, they got nothing. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's something. No, they're on television.
Would the later time slot not be better on a Friday than a Thursday, just for anyone that's in school, doesn't have the early morning, and come the fall, will they not have a SmackDown lead-in to make this a wrestling block of some kind?
In theory, yes. There's a lot of things in wrestling that in theory should be an improvement, but don't necessarily end up in improvement. I mean, I guess going head-to-head with SmackDown would probably be bad. Yeah. I guess probably going after SmackDown is probably going to be better, but I guess we'll see. I mean, to me, if I were Impact, I'd prefer going 8 to 10 until next October, and then when SmackDown comes on, maybe move it then, as opposed to having to start at that time, trying to build up an audience then. But hey, they're on television, okay? It's not ideal, but they're on television, so that's something. I don't even know if I have... I don't have the Pursuit channel. I'm pretty sure about that. But apparently you can get it on DirecTV. These are the stations very quickly. Channel 604 on DirecTV. Dish Network, channel 393. AT&T, channel 1644. Not sure how many channels you'll be flipping to land on that one. And Verizon Fios, 818. So that is the update on that. We've also got this here. Main Event... of all things, and this was not announced on Raw, this was not announced on SmackDown, it was announced on WWE Main Event. SmackDown Women's Champion Asuka is going to defend her title against Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble. So, I guess maybe it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte at the Rumble, Asuka versus Lynch at the Rumble, and then Lynch versus Ronda Rousey at Mania. That's at least my presumption.
But how do you explain Charlotte and Ronda cross-branded?
Well, you don't.
and here's all I know. Becky going to be in the Rumble as well.
Here's all I know. So on SmackDown this week, Shane McMahon or whoever it was, maybe it was Vince actually. Vince told both Charlotte and Becky, if you've got a problem with Ronda, take it out on her. And the obvious question is, well, how are they going to do that? They're on different brands. So maybe because Royal Rumble is a co-branded show, that's what they're going to do.
All the shows are co-branded, Brian.
I know that, but like, it's just weird.
It is.
I mean, to me, isn't it obvious what you do? Like, they both want Ronda Rousey, and so they both enter the Royal Rumble. And they're both fighting to get a shot because the winner can choose whatever champion they want to defend against. I mean, isn't that the most obvious, simple storyline? Like, yeah, this makes the whole thing weird.
Yeah, and if they want to do the three-way, they can get down to Becky and Charlotte at the end, and they can do the double elimination. They both hit at the same time, and they both want Ronda.
So I don't know what this means, but they announced it. For some reason, they felt they had to announce it on Main Event. That, to me, is the weirdest part of the whole damn story, actually.
That's worse than announcing it on Twitter.
It is, actually. I would agree with that. And Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman is the announced match for the Royal Rumble. And Brock Lesnar will be on the go-home show for the Rumble. So I guess that may be his next appearance, actually. I don't even know if he's billed anywhere until then. So that's kind of fascinating. So that's the story. We'll see what they do. They got a long time till the Rumble. I'll just put it this way. A lot of things could change between now and the Rumble. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian. How much? It's Jack Meese. I wanted to express my thought about last Monday night, the first segment. To me, it came off as very patronizing and insulting as a fan. Like, if you really listen to it, you know, they're all kind of just, you know, saying different things to try to appease the crowd. And, you know, Triple H said, you are now the authority. But, you know, in no way did he give the audience the authority. There was no voting or anything as far as call-ups, you know. And also, Stephanie said changes will happen right now. And then I think it was Vince that said, you're not going to really see anything for the next, you know, weeks, months. And actually... Lance, I don't know, your time in WWE was a little bit before this whole kind of like, you know, Cyber Sunday, let's put everything to a vote. But like, you know, does that stuff even, do they even take any of that into account? I mean, is that just, you know, for show? Because even when they do those votes, it's only for like, you know, pick the stipulation, table, chair, or ladder, you know, it stuff doesn't even really matter. So
that's true.
To me, it just sounded
well, oops, you know, I muted the wrong guy. I want to thank you very much for the call. I want to get Lance's thoughts on this. And I also want to say that your idea that you just had was actually awesome. I mean, they'll never do it, but if they would have announced on Raw, on WWE.com, or whatever social media they want, we're going to give you a list of 25 NXT superstars, and the fans are going to vote for three of them that are going to be called up. Any three that you want, and whatever three get the most votes are being called up, that's putting the power in the fans' hands. But they didn't do any of that.
No, I can't imagine them ever doing that. You know, like the caller mentioned, I forgot his name, sorry, but, you know, because I was teaching in developmental when I was running the OVW system for WWE, was when they started the voting Cyber Sunday stuff. And I think with the exception of, and I think they did it maybe once or twice, I know Jericho defended the IC title where they gave, you know, 10 guys and fans could vote. And it was legit.
It was legit and he lost the title.
Yeah, he found out in the ring while Shelton was making his entrance that it was Shelton, his opponent, and he was losing.
Yep.
But that was really one of the few times where fans got to vote a little bit because costumes and stipulations that are the same don't really matter.
Well, actually, hold that thought. We're going to head to a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk more about Cyber Sunday and Lance's thoughts on the opening segment of Raw. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Lance Storm joining us here today. And before the break, we were talking about the opening segment of Raw and Cyber Sunday. And I just want to make a quick note that all of those old Cyber Sunday pay-per-views, they were all legit voting. So they, in fact, did put the power in the hands of the people. But, I mean, as the caller noted, they were goofy stipulations. Is it going to be a no-holds-barred match, a street fight, or a hardcore match? Now, they're all the same, but whatever. Anyway, your thoughts on the opening segment, everything else?
Well, I think it's interesting. If you look at it as this caller did, that it was supposed to be a shoot, then it's completely absurd. Because we all know the McMahons have been in charge all the time. Now, if you just go, this is 100% a work, then it's not a bad segment. Because in storyline, the McMahons haven't been around and Baron Corbin's been this idiot that's been booking the show to amuse himself and doing stupid stuff. So them coming back going, we have to rein this yahoo in, we're going to take over, it'll be much better, isn't as preposterous if you look at it as a shoot that, okay, the Raw ratings have been down, we need to make this show better. It's like, well, you've been in charge the whole time, so you're not really changing anything. So I think it depends on how you look at it. But I think the craziest thing is to build to a Raw main event next week with Baron Corbin when you spent the entire show saying he was the problem.
Yes. And we've got a text message here I want to read because it plays into what I was talking about as far as voting. This person says, that's a great way to screw up long ongoing storylines in NXT just for the sake of shaking things up. Russo did the same thing, vacating all the titles in 2000. It was dumb back then. Okay, I've mentioned this before. Like, does no one listen to me? They've called up the champion before. Do you understand? Like, if you call up, name the three top guys that you'd want to call up. Let's say you want to call up Matt Riddle and Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, okay? Calling them up doesn't mean that they're gone. Like, they don't immediately have to go on the road. You can call all three guys up to the Raw or SmackDown roster, and then they go back down to Florida, and they do their NXT television tapings, and you write them out as storylines. This is fake, everybody. There's no rule that you have to do anything. And the only rule is you can do anything you want. If they do fan voting, and the fans on the main roster, which is significantly more important than NXT, if they want to see three guys and you give them the power to vote for them, they can call those three guys up the next Monday. And then on Tuesday, they go back down to Florida and they continue their storylines and they finish off everything in NXT. You can do whatever you want. because it's fake.
And NXT only tapes like one day a month. Like you said, they called up Kevin Owens as champ. They called
up Sasha Banks as champion.
And Paige as champion.
Did they? I don't remember.
They had to hold another tournament because she came down and did a promo saying she can't uphold her obligations in NXT, and she surrendered the NXT Women's Championship.
Sure.
So it's like you could do whatever you want, and it's only one day a month to do your tapings. They could do two or three more cycles of NXT tapings if they wanted to. And that's my biggest thing with booking or everything else. Don't look for the problem. Look for the solution. If they want the main guys up, it's like, fine. Come up with a booking plan over the next month to get them out of NXT. They can do both. It's no big deal.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on? Hey, you're on the air, buddy. You've been on the air for a while. What's up? Going once. Going twice. You're out of here, dude. These phones, Lance, I don't know if you've ever listened to this show. Sometimes it's difficult.
New technology, the telephone.
It is, yes. You're on the air. What's going on?
I have a question for you, Brian and Lance.
This guy can use the phone.
A lot of people were sick during this Hall of Fame voting and sort of like shake things up this year. Do you know anyone who was ill this year? And also, you said about groupthink this year made the Junkyard Dog like about 40-50% of the vote this year.
What are you talking about being sick?
Dave Meltzer said that a lot of the people that vote were sick this year in the hospital and couldn't vote this year, and things up.
There's some old people. I don't know how much it shook things up, but I mean, some of the older wrestlers and such were unavailable for voting. But I mean, I don't think that skewed everything dramatically. And what was your other question?
He said about there was a group think that caused the Junkyard Dog to go up to like 50% this year, which was odd. And does that happen like the Cauliflower Alley Club or like?
Ryan, that's the best question you've asked in a while. I have absolutely no idea. Like sometimes when a guy gets like, you know, 15% of the vote, 15% of the vote, 15% of the vote, then for example, maybe they pass away and Dave writes his big, long, detailed bio, and the next year they like go in or they're up at about 50% or something like that because, well, everyone took another look at their history and decided, hey, this person, maybe they are a Hall of Famer. Junkyard Dog died in 1997 or something like that, if I recall. I mean, it's been forever. And I mean, I'm sure somebody out there can help me out, but I have no idea why all of a sudden Junkyard Dog just got like a ton of support. I don't know what happened.
I think on one front, it can depend on what else is on the ballot. Like, I think there's some people that vote that might want people in and will use all 10 of their picks.
Yes.
And I think also Ryan needs to realize that you don't need 60% of the potential voters. You need 60% of those who voted. So if I was sick and didn't cast a vote, that's not a vote against them going in. It's like the ballots that come in, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I think it's a percentage of the votes that come in.
You're right, but his point is that, let's say, for example, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different, I mean, there's wrestlers, there's retired wrestlers, there's reporters, there's historians, etc., okay? So here's an example. Yuji Nagata went in this year, and he got like 100, I don't know if it's exactly 100%, but like among the active wrestlers, like every active wrestler voted for him. But among the retired wrestlers, he didn't get a lot of support. So even though it is a percentage, if like a bunch of active wrestlers this year, like all didn't vote, I mean, that could have kept Yuji Nagata out of the Hall of Fame because his strongest voting base was active wrestlers. Does that make sense?
Oh, so also if the older generation were ill and didn't vote, they may have voted for others and reduced
exactly.
His percentage.
Yes. So, and that did seem to happen a little bit this year. I don't know how many retired wrestlers Dave has, but I mean, there are certain names that the retired wrestlers, they wrestled, they worked with them, they were friends with them, they knew more about their careers than anybody else, and they're the voting base that is potentially going to get those people in. And when those older retired wrestlers, when they stop voting or when they pass away, I mean, that's going to be the end of the chances of some of these guys whose strongest voting base was those guys.
Yeah, and I also think, too, like, you're ill. It's like, you've got the ballot for quite a while. sending an email is not the most strenuous. If you're if you consider your ballot really important to the Hall of Fame, you'd have to be, you know, in ICU to be unable to still vote.
I should also mention, since somebody had texted about it a couple of days ago, somebody was very upset that Samoa Joe dropped off the ballot. And the reality is that he got less than 10% of the vote, so he drops off the ballot. But that doesn't mean you're permanently off the ballot. Like, if Samoa Joe wins a WWE title and he goes on a rampage and he beats Brock Lesnar and he headlines WrestleMania, I mean, he can easily be put back on the ballot. So there's no, I mean, anybody can be put back if somebody strongly makes a case that they should be on. Except Dave Meltzer, because he'll never be on the ballot, apparently. Let's go to the phones. Yeah, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian. Hi. Hey, Lance. How are you today?
What's going on?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the impact switch to Pursuit. I was doing a little research here, and I live on the East Coast. And here on the East Coast, Comcast cable is, you know, the dominant source of cable provider, is the dominant cable provider.
I'm sorry.
So I was going through, and I've noticed in the last 3 years, let's see, MLW was on BN. That lasted for all of a month. Now we got Impact switching to Pursuit, which is not part of Comcast. Let's see, El Rey was never on Comcast. And the, would you believe it, that ROH, I live in the Philadelphia area, I can't even get ROH on Comcast anymore.
So when you say that BN Sports lasted all a month, what you're saying is that BN Sports was dropped from Comcast.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Because they're still on MLW is still on BN Sports. Just BN Sports is not available on Comcast.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Yes. But okay. they never reached a deal with Comcast, and they're only with Fios, basically.
Yeah. So that sucks.
No, it's Switch. Unbelievable to see all these companies lead. It's like, I'm blown away that I can't watch ROH anymore. I'll be honest. It's just very strange to me that you said, I don't know if the Impact move is a lateral move. It is way down. It is a way down move. That's my opinion, obviously, but I'll let you guys talk now. Thanks, Brian. Thanks,
yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, if they're off Comcast in the Northeast, I mean, that's bad. That's the number one market in the country. So, yeah, that would be a big step down. I mean, this thing with TV is I mean, we've been talking about it for years now. But, I mean, no matter what anybody says about streaming and whatever, I mean, you got to have TV if you want to really make a mark. And you have to have strong TV. Like, everybody keeps talking about All Elite Wrestling and, well, what if they just want to be like the West Coast version of ROH, or what if they just want to run a promotion, or maybe they can get a streaming deal? I mean, they need like Paramount Network, TBS, TNT, something like that in order to make it. That's just it. Like, Lucha Underground was on El Rey and they just didn't make it. And Impact on Pop TV fell completely off the radar. They're going to fall farther off the radar here. And we haven't really talked about it on this show, but you can listen to Observer Radio. DAZN, which has been paying so much money for these properties, nobody's watching DAZN, this streaming service. And UFC's moving to ESPN+. We'll find out how that does. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi is ill today. Lance Storm joining us. I want to mention very quickly, going back to that NXT deal that we were talking about. This person says, I get that they can call up whoever they want, but Johnny Gargano is my favorite WWE wrestler. He's involved in one of their best long-term stories they've ever done. The longer he's in NXT, the longer it'll be before he's ruined on the main roster. Well, in theory, like I said, he can do both shows. He can be buried on the main roster and over like crazy on the NXT roster. We saw it last week when Tyler Breeze went down to NXT and was like a superstar, and then he showed up on Raw Monday, nobody cared about him. If he went back to NXT this coming Wednesday, he'd be over like a superstar again. So Gargano could do both. And I mean, hopefully they wouldn't ruin him, but I mean, it's Vince McMahon. Gargano's short and he's small. I don't have high hopes, but you never know. So Lance, on the show, I think it was a Filthy show, we were talking about SmackDown. And Mustafa Ali pinned Daniel Bryan, and in doing so, he did a double knee right to the neck and chest, maybe the face of Daniel Bryan. Looked like he damn near killed the guy and got the pin. And my first thought was, man, you're your first big shot and you hurt. They didn't hurt him because Daniel Bryan worked the tapings. But I thought this could be bad for Mustafa Ali. But spoiler alert, everybody. I won't say who, but Mustafa Ali does wrestle on the tapings for this coming Tuesday show, and he does win. So they didn't give up on him immediately. But what are your thoughts on something like that happening and how this could turn out for him in WWE?
Well, it's really going to come down to whether everyone in the creative process is behind him or not. It's, you know, it's the old thing. If there's people that are your detractors and you get hurt, you're injury prone. If you don't have detractors, it's just unfortunate that you got hurt. So if there's people that are against him getting the spot and the push, this is all the fuel they need to go, look, we can't put him in there with top guys. He's too dangerous. But if everybody's behind him and Daniel Bryan's okay, the heat will go away. But it looked to me like he took a knee right in the jaw, and which is extremely dangerous. And this is what I was surprised, because I saw a gif of the knees first, and then I watched the show. And Daniel Bryan first took the bump and landed, and I'm like, okay, that's probably what happened, is Ali didn't place him. But then Mustafa Ali goes over and adjusts where he is and puts him where he want him. And I'm like, okay, now it's on you, dude. And I was really surprised that he should have been pulled way more head forward, so that you're targeting the guy's pelvis. He's got a bad head. Why are you aiming upper chest? Like, I thought it was just bad placement. And since he grabbed his arm and leg to adjust where he was, he should have adjusted better. So if there's any heat, it should be on him. But hopefully Daniel Bryan's all right.
Well, like I said, I mean, Daniel did an angle at the tapings. It took place immediately afterwards. So, I mean, he was all right enough to do an angle. But yeah, for a guy, I mean... maybe he landed on his jaw. It looked to me like his upper chest and neck with the highest knee. I don't know. But, I mean, for a guy that has a... I mean, he was retired for 2 years due to head injuries. I mean, it would suck to have a knee to the head in his career again.
Even just the dangers of a knee to the throat. Remember when Van Damme did the splash off the Elimination Chamber pod? I bet you Hunter remembers. He almost died. And that's where... with those kind of moves, you know, there was...
Lance. Tell us about your hyoid bone. You were nearly killed.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch.
Nonsense.
Christian clotheslined me in the throat on a... I don't even remember. A BSE show in Toronto in, like, 06. But, yeah, there was many fans that said... most people with a broken hyoid... I can never pronounce that word. Hyoid bone are dead. But it's... it's what fractures if you're choked to death. So in many cases, it's not what kills you, but it gets broken in the process of killing you. It's a more common hockey injury because you get a hockey puck in the throat and it can break the bone, which I joked that it makes sense because Christian's arm's about as thick as a hockey puck. So,
oh, terrible, Lance. They were going to say the hockey stick. All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Brian. Hi, Lance. Merry Christmas. I kind of want to talk, if it's okay, about Matt Riddle for a second, who's awesome, and his theme music's awesome, too. I was watching, they have, like, a documentary series on YouTube about him, and WWE did, and I already knew this, but Matt Riddle's not a gimmick. He's just Matt Riddle.
Like, yeah.
He's always Matt Riddle. Yeah, it's awesome. That's what makes him great. Like, he meets Hunter for the first time. They show it. He's wearing a suit, a baseball cap, and no shoes. Nothing on his feet at all. He's just barefoot. He just walks up and meets Hunter that way. And I was curious. I mean, that's what makes him great. But what do you think about him on the main roster? Because, as we know, they basically just try to make everyone plastic and nothing genuine, man.
Well,
I don't think he's the type of personality that wows Vince. That's how I'll put it.
Dude, I don't know. I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, I watch Matt Riddle, and it's like... like, I don't know. I guess I've thought this about a lot of people, but how do you screw this guy up? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just who he is.
Well, I see a similarity, and I haven't seen a lot of Riddle stuff, to be honest, but I see a lot of similarities with Rob Van Dam. Because Van Dam wasn't a gimmick either. He was just Rob. And they both have similar hobbies. But if Matt Riddle has to be, bro... Matt Riddle promos, he could run into trouble in the main roster, because I know that was one of the criticisms of Rob Van Dam, is that Van Dam wanted to just do Rob Van Dam style promos. And they were, if you're going to be in a main event, you need to do a main event style promo, which is a more heated one, because we're getting into heated angles. You can't just be, dude, if we're in a heated angle. And Rob was very adamant that he liked being Rob Van Dam, and dude was sort of how he did his promos. And if Matt Riddle is bro and has to do his promos, there is the potential he could have problems.
I just love that, like, Riddle was like a superstar on the indie scene for years, and they would never sign him because of his pot failures in MMA. And now they signed him, and his gimmick is he's a stoner. It's incredible.
Is it his gimmick, or is he just him?
Well, I mean, he's just him, but like I watched the promo that he did on Wednesday, and it's like, dude, like, you got to be playing this up. You have to be. Or maybe I'm wrong. All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Lance. Hey, Brian. How are you?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up? You know, correct me if I'm wrong. Last time Vince McMahon said that he was going to shake things up, he was getting his rear end handed to him by WCW in the ratings. And, you know, he came out and made that promo about, you know, we're going to shake things up and blah, 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 blah. And he did eventually come out with Mike Tyson, and, you know, that kind of turned back the ratings for them and, you know, all that jazz. How much, in your opinion, do you guys think not having legit competition and, you know, not getting their butts kicked by another company is, you know, affecting what the product is like, you know, these days?
You want to know my honest answer?
Yes, absolutely.
My honest answer is, I think that if there was a WCW going head-to-head with Vince, things would be just as horrible as they are now. Like, I think the issue is that he doesn't have it anymore. I mean, I don't say that, like, I mean, he still is, how can I say this? I look at some of the things that he does and some of the ideas that he has, and like, there's still some of the old Vince McMahon in there. Like, if you watched all of the ways that they tried to get Roman Reigns cheered, I mean, some of it was like, this is a smart, I mean, it didn't work, but like, in theory, when you saw what he was trying to do to get the guy cheered, it's like, this is a smart dude. It's just not working. But man, I look at everything else, and this is not the same Vince from the Attitude Era. It's just not. And I mean, one of the biggest things is like his complete inability to just let things get over. I mean, that to me is like, I watch those old shows, and like, there's a lot of stuff on those retro Raws that's terrible. But it's like, when they, Too Cool is like a great example, okay? They gave two guys a goofy gimmick and goofy music, and they put him with a fat guy, and they came out, and like, they danced. And if you watch it, like, the first time that Too Cool and Rikishi do their dance after the match, they cut away before Rikishi even starts dancing. It's weird. But then you watch it like the next week, and Rikishi kind of starts to dance a little. Then the third week, like, they do the whole deal. Too Cool, they get the sunglasses, they put the sunglasses on Rikishi, he strikes his pose, they do their dance, the place goes nuts, they do their pose again, and they cut away. So what that tells me is, Vince saw that it was working, and he was like, let's do it, let's go for it. And there's a lot of things from the Attitude Era that, I mean, today, you know, 20 years later, it's like, it's stupid, but the fans are super into it, and he just like let things organically get over. And like, that's the farthest thing from what he does nowadays. He doesn't let anything organically get over. He tries to force every single thing. And when things start to organically get over, I mean, he squashes it. The Becky Lynch thing is like the prime example. I mean, can you imagine, like, in 1997, or the fall of 96 was when Austin started to go over as a babyface. I mean, can you imagine when he was doing those promos with Bret Hart and he was starting to get super over, that instead of going, well, we're heading towards a double turn here, instead he was like, man, we got to put a stop to this. What's this guy getting over for? He's supposed to be a heel. They just went with it. I think that's the biggest problem today. I don't think competition would make any difference whatsoever.
Two things. Had he been able to afford Brett and wasn't letting Brett leave, would he have let Steve Austin get over, or would he have stayed with Brett? One question. And then the other thing, when he talked about, you know, comparing it to when WCW was kicking a butt in competition, I think there is the competition now. It's not wrestling, but I think Vince has publicly acknowledged that we have to do something with our ratings because they're getting bad. You know, all of the Roman push, ratings stayed solid, so he could do what he wanted. But there's been a definite decline for a few months now, and the next 2 weeks, because of Christmas and New Year's, are going to tank even worse. So I think January is the time that we will get to see whether Vince has the ability to do what he did in the Attitude Era and take back over, because I think things are going the wrong direction and it needs to be turned around for viewership. And viewership's important because he's got a Fox deal coming up, and Fox is not going to take kindly to 1.9 million viewers.
So to answer your Bret Hart question, when Steve Austin started to get over, leading to that WrestleMania match where they did the double turn, Bret wasn't leaving. He had just signed a 20-year deal. So he didn't start negotiating with Eric until the summer of 97, which was after he'd already done the double turn with Steve Austin and was actually like the hottest heel in the company doing the Team Canada stuff. So yeah, I mean, he had just signed the most lucrative deal that Vince had ever signed anybody to. And Steve Austin started to get over his babyface feuding with Bret, and he went with it. He turned Steve Austin and he turned Bret Hart. And he went with, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, do you think that they came up with the idea for like the Team Canada, US versus Canada feud? I mean, Bret was going to Canada as a heel and he was getting cheered, and he was coming to America as a babyface and getting booed. And they didn't talk about Bizarro World or, you know, go on TV and explain to these fans or just like whatever. They went with it. They made him a full-fledged babyface whenever he was in Canada and a full-fledged heel whenever he was in America. And it was like the best storyline they'd done in like a decade. So, yeah, he still went with things back then.
Well, I guess January, we'll find out.
We will find out. Oh, get into break, everybody. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Elber is here, Lance Storm. Got a person here saying, does anyone really think that Vince is going to book Becky to win the Royal Rumble and headline Mania with Ronda? They would prefer Charlotte. Well, first off, I don't think she's going to win the Royal Rumble because she's got a championship match at the Royal Rumble against Asuka. And yes, I do think it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Becky. And going back to Survivor Series, that's the plan right now. It's Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. Plans could change, but that was absolutely their intention. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey is the match for the Royal Rumble. And who knows what they could do. I mean, maybe, let me think about this. I mean, maybe Ronda wins and Becky wins, and Ronda and Becky is champion versus champion, title for title, and main events Mania. I mean, none of this is out of the question. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. And I really hope Becky does get the Mania spot. I think she deserves it.
Lance, let's get some plugs in for your social media and such. Thanks for doing the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. You can follow me on Twitter, at Lance Storm. You can follow Storm Wrestling Academy on Instagram if you like. And that's about it for my social media.
That's right. Information there, by the way, about his wrestling school. If you're listening to this right now and you want to be a wrestler, Lance has got talent working all over the world, including the main roster, NXT, AAA. I mean, the list goes on and on. If you want to hear the whole list, Lance also comes on every Friday at WrestlingObserver.com with an exclusive show. So if you want more Lance Storm, including every Lance Storm you've ever done in our archives, check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And Lance, I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. We're out of time, everybody. We'll talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.